Isaiah 53. As we continue to walk our way through this great messianic prophecy, it's amazing to consider the reality that over 700 years before Christ came, his coming, his method of death, those things were prophesied. Just thinking there's no way Isaiah could have known that on his own, other than the divine inspiration of God speaking to him and through him. It's incredible to think about. The events that led up to the crucifixion were brought to us visually in a very powerful way about 12 years ago. Many of you may remember the movie The Passion of the Christ. Even though I have a copy of that DVD, I have to admit I've only watched it about twice. It's just too much to take in, to see that portrayed and to see a reminder of how brutal his death was and what he went through for us, what he endured for us. When you think about the fact that those who were with him, Peter and John, were really the only two that hung around to see what was going on. The other nine left. Of course, Judas already left for obvious reasons, but the other nine just basically went and hid. So basically two of his closest companions hung around, and then one of those denied him three times. So he was experiencing the anguish of his friends, the anguish of the pain that he was going through, but I think the greatest pain that he experienced was the reality that his Father could no longer look upon him because of our sin. And then to go from that to just 3 days later, the joy of the resurrection. And in so many ways, that's almost a reflection of what it's like for us before we come to Christ and then experiencing that new life in Christ, that resurrection spiritually, and realizing our life has purpose, that we do have meaning here. We're not just here by random process and accident. God has a plan, as God had a plan throughout. Christ coming and dying on the cross was not some sort of, oh, now I've got to fix this. This was God's plan all along. God had a purpose and an intention in this. I want to spend some time this morning reminding us of what he went through at the cross for us and what he took upon himself just for you and for me. So this morning we're going to look at the servant's passion. I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we look in Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 4. We'll look at just three verses. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, I thank you that your word is not just a word among many, but that your word is the truth, absolute truth. God, open our hearts and minds to hear from you today. God, help us to truly want to apply what you have to say. And God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. So we look at this text this morning. First of all, I want you to see that he bore our sorrows. He bore our sorrows. There's no way around the reality other than to acknowledge the fact that sin brings sorrows. I haven't known any drug addict who said, boy, I just really love the joy that I'm getting from this addiction. I haven't known any convicted felon who thoroughly enjoyed the prison system and just was glad to be there. I've also not known any Christian that was experiencing real joy as they were clinging to sin. Sin brings sorrow into our life. Sin causes affliction in our lives. The reality is if we harbor sin in our lives, we're going to be miserable. I can't speak for everyone in here, but I know in my own life when I'm holding on to something that I shouldn't be holding on to, when I'm holding on to some sin that I haven't confessed, it becomes painful. It becomes agony to not let go of that and to confess it for what it is and allow God to deal with that. in my humanness, I start to try to take control of things and to do things a certain way rather than trusting God with it and letting Him know the need that I have, even though He already knows, confessing my needs to Him. Our human response is to try to manipulate it or to control it and try to make it come out with the results that we want to see take place. However, we have to learn to trust God and let Him take care of it. When Jesus went to the cross, He took the sorrow of our sin upon Himself so that we would have the privilege and the opportunity to let go of that sin and not live in it any longer. I also realized that because He died for me, I have forgiveness and I can talk with Him when I'm hurting. You see, His death bridged a gap that sin had created between us and God. We couldn't talk to God. We couldn't enter His presence, but because of what Christ did on the cross, He made that possible for us. Now when you're hurting, now when you're concerned about something, now when you need to confess sin, you can go straight to God. You can ask His forgiveness. You can ask for His help. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a preacher. You don't have to do some sort of thing. You don't have to go some certain place. You can simply go to Him. Take your concerns directly to Him. You know, nowadays we have all these automated phone trees. You know what I'm talking about? You call up somewhere and, you know, do 2 backflips and press 3. They want you to do all sorts of stuff just to get to what you want to talk to. I mean, you know, we have an automated system here that we use if no one happens to be in the office, and it's not too complicated. If you want to leave a message, press 1. But some, you know, you get all these things. If you would like to do this, press 1. If you'd like to do that, press 2. If you'd like to do this, press 3. So on and so forth. And it seems like you have to go through a bunch of things just to finally get to speak to a person on the phone. For me, I have learned that these automated machines do not speak Southern English. They don't understand me. They ask, you know, what's your, you know, they want to direct you to the right place, so they ask you, say what your question is or say what your problem is. That drives me nuts because they never understand me. Whenever I can push numbers, I do that. If I'm calling one of my credit card companies, you can say or enter your credit card number. I promise you, I enter it every time because they will not understand what I say. But that's okay. When I finally do get through to someone, they always pay me back by giving me someone that doesn't understand me. I love it when I get someone on the phone who has some really heavy accent, and I'm not picking on anybody with accents or anything like that. Please don't understand me that way. But sometimes it'll be somebody with a heavy accent, and they'll say something like, "Hello, my name is Roger." You know their name is not Roger, but I couldn't pronounce their real name anyway. But it's amazing the things that you have to go through just to get to talk to someone, and even when you do, you don't know if they're going to understand what you say. The great thing about our Heavenly Father is we don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. Jesus Christ paid the price so we can go directly to Him. And here's the really cool thing that Scripture tells us. He knows our hearts even before we speak a word. So we don't have to wonder whether or not He'll understand us. We don't have to wonder about whether or not He'll be confused with what we need. He already is at work meeting our needs. The thing that we have to be careful of when we enter His presence is that we pause to listen to Him, because He wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear His truth. He wants us to know what it is that He has to say to us, but we must be willing to listen. Jesus made it all possible. Before that, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year, but Jesus made it possible so that you and I could go in anytime. So when we have that need for confession, and let's just be honest, we have that need every day, we can go directly to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. We can ask forgiveness. We can ask for Him to minister to us. I can take my hurts to God. I can take my concerns to God. I can take my praise directly to God because of what Jesus did for me. We have a reason to meet each Sunday because of what Christ did on the cross. If He hadn't done that, we'd have no reason to meet. We among all would be pitied because we'd be wasting our time. But praise God, we're not wasting our time. Jesus Christ paid the price for us. We can rejoice and we can celebrate that victory each Sunday as we gather. Be sure that you're not only taking your burdens and your sorrows to God, but be sure to praise Him and to thank Him. See those things that He's been faithful in your life. We were talking this Wednesday night about the reality how short our memories are when it comes to what God has done in our lives. All of a sudden, we're into some trial and struggle, and we throw our hands up and go, God, where are you? When just yesterday, God rescued us from something and ministered to us in a powerful way. Let's remember the things that God has done for us, but don't be afraid to speak candidly to God either. If you read through the Psalms, you see very clearly the psalmist, David in particular, spoke very candidly to God. God can handle your hurt. He can handle your frustration. And when things are weighing you down, when it's more than you feel like you can endure, God can handle your honesty. But trust him to see you through. Christ made it possible that we could go into his presence. Christ made it possible that we could take all our hurts, all our burdens to our Heavenly Father. So we see in this text that he bore our sorrows. Secondly, I want you to see that he bore our suffering. In verse 5 of this chapter, it says this, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging, or as the King James says, by his stripes, we are healed. He bore the burden for us. He took our suffering. We need not ever forget the reality that when he hung on that cross, it wasn't for what he had done. It was for what we have done. It was for our sins. It was for what we've done that Christ had to go to the cross. He was there because of my sin, because of your sin. And even though it's been 12 years ago, I'm still seeing that movie and something powerful about seeing those images portrayed in a way that I'd never seen before. It was very heavy on my heart, knowing more so. Even though I knew he'd been through so much, but just seeing visually more so what he went through. He was crushed in the sense that he was brutally beaten, and though we were the ones that deserved to be chastised, he was chastised in our place. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God if there was another way to accomplish this, even though he knew this is what had to take place. There was no other way for us to be forgiven. It was for our good, and the only thing that could be done for God to be reconciled with sinners like you and me was for God to take our place, for God to stand in our place, to shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and by his scourging or by his stripes, we were healed. What would you be willing to do for your own child to see that they wouldn't have to endure suffering? What would you be willing to do for a friend? What would you be willing to do for an enemy? See, the Word of God says, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We hadn't done one thing to deserve him going to the cross, and yet he did just that for us. There's a story told of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion, and the doctor explained that his sister had the same disease that he had had 2 years earlier, and the best way for her to be able to overcome this disease was for her to receive a transfusion from someone who had already recovered from that disease. And because this boy had the same rare blood type that his sister had, he was the ideal candidate for this. So the doctor went in to little Johnny and said, would you give your blood to Mary? Johnny hesitated. His lower lip started to tremble. Then he smiled and said, sure, for my sister. Soon the two were wheeled into the hospital room, Mary pale and thin, Johnny robust and healthy. Neither spoke, but when their eyes met, Johnny grinned. As the nurse inserted the needle into his arm, Johnny's smile faded. He watched the blood flow through the tube. With the ordeal almost over, Johnny's voice, slightly shaky, broke the silence. And he said, doctor, when do I die? See, only then did the doctor realize that Johnny had hesitated because he thought that in giving his blood to his sister that he was giving up his life. In that brief moment, he made his great decision. Johnny was willing to give his young life for his sister, though that wasn't required of him. Christ gave his life for us and took our suffering upon himself. And we deserved to suffer in our sin, not him. We deserved to suffer the consequences of our sin, yet he was willing to take that upon himself because of his love for you. He could have called the angels at any time. He could have said, I'm not going to endure this suffering any longer. And yet he did not. As he took that brutal beating and his precious body poured blood from it, he stayed there because he knew we needed his forgiveness. He knew that's what it would take for me to be forgiven. That's amazing love. We sometimes think that we can go on or we get that we can't go on. Rather, we get discouraged and we're having to face life and we think we just can't do it any longer. We sometimes think that God is giving us more than we can bear. I want you to hear me very clearly on this, because we've mistakenly said this. When we say it this way, we're saying it in an unbiblical way. God will never give you more than you can handle. That's unbiblical. God will never give you more than he can handle. That's biblical. There'll be plenty that comes into your life that you can't handle, but that with him in your life, through his power, he can handle it. He can see you through. So don't think that things aren't going to come upon you that seem like they're more than you can handle, because they are more than you can handle, because God truly wants us at the place where we look at him and we realize he's the only way we can get through this. He wants our dependence upon him. But he's big enough to handle it all. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what we're facing. He can see us through. We can praise him even when we suffer, because he is above all. He is over all, and he can see us through whatever we might face. He's alive and well, and he's waiting for us to join him in heaven one day. So he bore our sorrows, and he bore our suffering. But finally, I want you to see that he bore our sin. In verse 6, it says this, all, not some, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. For any of us to sit here and say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I didn't really need God to do that for me. I have news for you. You are a sinner, just as I am a sinner. The Word of God says in Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us apart from God could enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He bore what we should have borne. He took on what we should have had to pay the price for. We're sinners by nature, but Christ stood in our place. He paid the price for our sin. There was a debt that we owed, and the only way we could pay that debt was to die and spend our eternity separated from him. But Jesus Christ stepped in and said, I'll take that upon myself so that you don't have to spend eternity separated from God. That's the greatest victor, the greatest victory that ever took place. Yahweh, the Lord, has allowed our sins to fall on Christ. You need to realize that this was the greatest anguish for Christ on the cross. All of the physical anguish leading up to that moment that he took our sin upon himself, all of that physical anguish was horrible. But in that moment when he took my sin upon himself, he could no longer have fellowship with his Father. His Father had to turn his back on him, and that was the greatest pain he experienced, and yet he did that for me, and he did that for you. Our holy God can't have sin in his presence, and in that moment he couldn't look on his own son because of our sin. Christ was willing to do that. He was willing to be separated from the Father so that we might be made right with the Father. We can enter his presence through prayer now, but one day we'll be able to physically enter his presence and know him as he has known us. That can only be possible through what Christ did for us. On my driver's license, I have two words that might mean life for somebody one day. It says organ donor. Now, there are a lot of people today that are waiting for an organ transplant. Literally, thousands of people with diseases that can only hope of getting an organ transplant to help them overcome that disease. And I wouldn't begin to try to tell you what's right for you and what you should do. But there are two things that would bless me to no end that could come out of my death that would be a great thing. First of all, that somebody might live because I donated an organ. Somebody might get something they need because I donated an organ. But the greatest thing that could happen as a result of my death would be that someone would come to know Christ. I would consider that the highest privilege. So whoever stands in the pulpit and preaches my funeral, I hope to goodness they preach the gospel. And I hope to goodness they tell people how they can know what I know, how they can enter the kingdom of heaven because of what Christ did for them. I will confess I don't want to die anytime soon, but God has a plan and his timing is perfect and we have to trust that. But it's sad to see that someone has to die for someone else to have life, but that's exactly what took place for us. Christ died so that we might have life. Christ took our sins. He suffered the burden of our sins so that we might be forgiven. And only he could do that for us. In this life, I've only seen glimpses of the presence of God. I've been fortunate a few times to have some of those moments where it was clear that the Spirit of God was present, the Spirit of God was moving. And those are joyous times. Those are wonderful times. But one day I'm going to know that for eternity. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, one day you're going to know that for eternity. One day you're going to be in his presence for eternity. That's an awesome thing to consider. If he had not been willing to die in our place, that wouldn't be possible. But he bore that upon his shoulders. You see, I was a dumb sheep wandering aimlessly, but God the Father sent his Son to die in my place, to take my sins upon himself. And you see, here's the thing that we need to remember about that. We were all wandering about. If God had not pursued us, we would not have pursued him. All of us were wandering aimlessly, doing our own thing, and left to ourselves, we wouldn't pursue God. But God revealed himself to us. God came to us. He took the step so that we could know him, so that we could have a relationship with him. He made it possible for my record to be wiped completely clean. He removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. That's the God we serve. This morning and every morning that we come on Sunday to celebrate, we come to celebrate a risen Savior. We shouldn't come in here as people who look defeated, even though I know sometimes we've had a hard week and we feel defeated when we come. But I pray that by the time we leave this place each Sunday, we're reminded of the joyous, glorious Christ who died for us, who lives for us and wants us to live for him. You see, anytime you come into God's house, God is going to meet you where your need is if you're willing to let him. Too many times we come to church with the heart and the attitude of, well, God, you just show me something today. Instead of coming before him and saying, God, I am a sinner unclean, and I am desperately in need of you. Please minister to me today. That's the heart that God meets. That's the heart that God works in. And we need to come before him like that. If you don't have the hope of Jesus Christ in your life today, I pray that you wouldn't leave this place without settling that issue. The Word of God really doesn't beat around the bush about this. The Word of God's very clear. We're going to spend our eternity in one of two places. Either we're going to spend our eternity in heaven with him, or we're going to spend our eternity in hell separated from him. As a matter of fact, the Revelation tells us it is a lake of fire. God doesn't want anyone to spend their eternity in the lake of fire. The Word of God says it is his desire, his will, that none should perish. He wants all to spend eternity in heaven, but he gives us a choice. So the question today is, have you made that choice? If you haven't, I pray, don't leave here today without placing your faith in him. Simply agree with God that you're a sinner and ask his forgiveness. Place your faith in him today. He will save you. He will give you eternal life. Christian, have you been living for him? For all the wonder, for all the for all the sorrow and anguish he suffered for us, then all the glory of his resurrection. Are you living for him? Are you grateful for what he did for you? We can say we're grateful, but let's be honest. Our lives are going to say more about whether we're truly grateful than our words will. So how are we living? Are we living in gratitude for what Christ did for us? You may be here today and you've got some burden on your heart, something weighing you down. Maybe some of those closest to you don't even know what that is. God knows what it is. I can tell you on the authority of God's word, not on my opinion, the authority of God's word, that God's already at work in that situation. The question is, are you going to let him work? Are you going to let him do what he wants to do through that? Because the word of God says that he works everything together for your good. Even that thing right now that you think could never come to good, God says he works it to your good. Are you willing to trust it to him? Are you willing to let go of it and say, God, your good be done, period. Whatever you want to do, let him have his way with it. During this invitation, let God meet you where your need is. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that you were willing to pay the highest price for our forgiveness. God, I ask your forgiveness right now of the times in my life where I live in such a way that I'm showing in my life that I don't have gratitude for the price you paid for my sin. God, help me to live with gratitude. Help me to honor you in everything I say and do. God, I pray for each person here. I pray that if there's anyone here who has a question in their heart this morning about whether or not they've placed their faith in you, Lord, help them to settle that today before they leave. God, to be certain they've asked your forgiveness, to be certain they have eternal life through you. Lord, for those here who are carrying around burdens, who are your children, God, who have placed their faith in you and know they belong to you, but God, they're facing something and dealing with something right now that's just weighing them down. God, relieve that right now by giving them the courage to trust it to you. Lord, help us to stand on your promises. And whatever you need to do during this invitation, Lord, you have your way in this place. It's in your wonderful and precious name we pray these things. Amen.